The next day, the body lay in an open coffin in the living room of the Cash home while those who knew Jack came by to pay their respects. Joy Gower was 14 at the time and went with her mother. The adults would talk to the family and offer their condolences. I can particularly remember Tommy, who was only just 4 years old at the time, pulling himself up to the coffin and looking in. He was obviously wondering why his big brother was laying in a box like that. After a funeral at First Baptist, Jack was buried in the cemetery 12 miles away in Bassett. A group of his fellow Boy Scouts filled in the grave after the coffin had been lowered. A marble headstone later erected bore the Boy Scout crest, Jack D. Cash, 1929-44, and the question, "Will you meet me in heaven?" Unsure whether his father was truly a Christian, Jack may well have asked him this question in the hospital. His dad didn't go to church at the time, remembers Joy Gower. The rest of the family was real strong, but his dad wouldn't go. I was told that either the day before he died or a few hours before he died, Jack told his dad that he felt he could go on if he knew for sure that he, his dad, was a Christian. That played a great part in the family's life. The question apparently had a dramatic effect on Ray Cash. "I think that's why God allowed Jack to last those few days," says Joanne, who saw her brother die. Daddy got down on his knees and gave his heart to the Lord. He started attending church more often, tried to control his drinking, and apparently stopped his violence. But it was always a struggle for Ray. His addictive personality and his sometimes brutal tongue would frequently hamper his progress. The memory of Jack inspired and guided Cash. In his adult imagination, Jack grew old with him, and when faced with a moral dilemma, Cash would ask himself what Jack would do in such a situation. "He was a very devout Christian who studied his Bible every day," he said in 1988. "He was a very wise person. He gave me advice on a lot of things. We were very close. When he died, I felt a really great loss, but his memory has always been an inspiration to me." Jack's death and the ensuing guilt made Cash more introspective. Although he enjoyed his fun, he also had a reputation for being quiet and thoughtful. He avoided competitive sports. In class photographs, he always wore the slightly worried face while all those around him looked blissfully cheerful. It can be no coincidence that he always marked the age of 12 as the start of his creative life, the age at which he began writing stories and poems, the age at which he first learned the rudiments of guitar playing. "It's when I really started writing," he later said. "I was trying to put down what I was feeling. I'd never known death either in the family or among friends. And suddenly I realized that I wasn't immortal, that I too could die someday." The poems and songs reflected the despair and grief of Jack being killed. I guess it told me a whole lot about life early on. His mother had bought a guitar from the Sears and Roebuck catalog, but around the time of Jack's death it disappeared without mention. Years later, Cash realized that they must have sold it to get the family through some hard times. So when he wanted to learn guitar, he visited a boy named Jesse Barnhill, who was a year ahead of him at school. Despite a withered right hand, the result of childhood polio, Barnhill impressed Cash with his ability to create chords on his Gibson flat top with his left hand and beat a rhythm on the strings with his right hand. He would play songs by Hank Snow, Ernest Tubb, and Jimmy Rogers while they both sang along. Years later, writing of his guitar technique, Cash referenced that early influence. "Sometimes it's magic, and I just believe that when it all comes together, it's the right way for me to do it. Like Jesse Barnhill did it. Like Mama did it." Although his grades in English didn't show it, he regularly got C's and D's, Cash began to build a reputation as a writer. Coen Cox, who graduated 3 years ahead of Cash, can remember him reciting one of his poems in front of the whole school. "It was like a talk given in rhyme," he said. "I thought it was really unusual for a guy like him to be doing at his age. I can't recall what it was about, but I do remember him doing a real good job." Both AJ and JE remember Cash as the one people would turn to if they were stuck with creative writing assignments or book reports. Once the class had to write a poem on a Western theme and AJ was stumped, Cash ended up writing it for him. AJ can still remember 8 lines of it. The top hand mounted his trusty steed and rode across the plain. He said, "I'll ride until setting sun, unless I lose my rein." The horse gave a jump and then a jerk, and Bob drew up the slack. He rode his trail until setting sun, then rode a freight train back. The young Cash was always moderate in his way of life. The church's teachings and the model of his mother profoundly influenced him, and his father's pre-conversion behavior only made him appreciate peace and sobriety all the more. He had no intention of following his father's example, and he pitied his mother for having to put up with him. When a boy who drank started to hang around with his gang, Cash informed him that he wouldn't be welcome until he quit drinking. "He was dreamy," says AJ. "He was kind of off on another planet, but not in a bad way. He always seemed to have some view of where he was going, but I don't think at that time he would have envisaged a musical career. There wasn't a lot for young people to do in Dias." On weekends, the teenagers, over 180 attended Dias High School, hung out around the Circle, where the main attractions were the movie theater, a roller rink, and a cafe with a jukebox. When Tara asked her father about his first date for the parent book, he replied, "I was 16. My dad let me have the car, a 1935 Ford, and I took Evelyn Shaddix to the movies and got her back by 9:30 p.m. Asked about his first kiss, he added, "Evelyn Shaddix in the car, first date." She immediately said, "Take me home," and I did. To the question, "Who was your first girlfriend?" he said, "Louise Nichols," but she didn't know it. Louise was a girl in his class, and she admits that they claimed each other during their junior year in high school. "It was the way kids do these things," she says. "We were always big buddies. We were always together walking to class and doing all that stuff. I tell you, he was something special. He really was. He was just so comical, and everybody loved him. Everybody. He asked me out on a date, but we didn't have places to go. There was only the theater or church. So I didn't go out with him at first, but I did later. I just had to give in." In his senior year, Cash dated 15-year-old Sue Moore, who had been AJ's girlfriend until he joined the Army at the end of 11th grade. Innocent and uncomplicated, their relationship mostly consisted of hanging around at the cafe or the movie theater, usually in the company of others. "I thought he was a hunk," she says, "but at the time I don't think you could have said that he was wild about girls. He was just a kind of laid-back person, a nice, lovable guy." The relationship ended after about 3 months when Sue moved to Atkins, Arkansas. Cash was apparently brokenhearted, and his sister Reba wrote Sue a letter saying that he wanted her to come back. She didn't, and they never saw each other again. Cash's only other girlfriend during his senior year was Nadine Johnson, who lived in the nearby community of Marie and went to school in Wilson. Her best friend, Joy Lita Wells, was in Cash's class and would ask Nadine to walk her home in the dark on the night she had to stay late to rehearse school plays. It was during one of these rehearsals that she first met Cash in the school hall. "He came in and sat in a straight-backed chair that was leaning against the wall," she remembers. "Everybody was laughing and having fun. He was carrying on and acting silly, and suddenly the chair flew out from under him and he fell. And I thought, oh my, how cute. We got to know each other. And the night he graduated from high school, he asked me for my first date." Nadine went to the May 19, 1950 graduation as a guest of Joy Lita. Cash sang the Whiffin' Poof song. Afterward, they all went to the cafe at the Circle, and it was there that Cash asked her out. "When he came to get me for that first date, he had a blanket or quilt on the seat of his father's car," she said. "The car had no side windows, and the seat was wet with rain." To Nadine, Cash seemed well-adjusted and popular. He was polite and never cursed or drank. Although they were both churchgoers, she belonged to the Church of Christ, they didn't discuss religion, and she even felt that Cash's mother viewed her with suspicion because she wasn't a Baptist. When Cash was in the car with her, he liked to sing. In particular, she remembers him singing songs by the Ink Spots, and between the lines, he would shout out invocations such as, "Do you hear me, girl?" and "Say, Nadine, do you hear me?" "I think what attracted me to him was that he was so well-liked," she says. Everywhere he went, it was, "Hey, JR, how you doing? You okay?" He had the most absolutely gorgeous brown eyes I've ever seen. That's one thing I do remember. And he was so tall and slim. He was quite attractive. An eye-catcher. At the end of a typical date, he would drive her back to Marie. When he gave me a goodnight kiss, he'd stand on the ground and I'd have to stand on the porch to make us level. I'd always be scared to death that my daddy was going to open the door. Dads were pretty strict in those days with their girls. I was a good girl, though. I know that. There was never any intimacy. We just stole a few kisses. After graduating, Cash had no idea what to do with his life. He always claimed that he had never wanted to do anything other than be a musician, and his mother had impressed on him that he had been given the gift by God. But in 1950, he was ill-qualified to earn money that way. He could only pick a couple of chords on a guitar, had taken a few singing lessons in 1948 with Lavonda May Fielder of Lepanto, and had sung at church and at school. His only experience of commercial performances consisted of a Louvin Brothers concert and a visit to the Grand Ole Opry during a school trip in 1950. He started by taking casual day labor. He hitchhiked to Bald Knob, Arkansas, and picked strawberries for 3 days. Spent 3 weeks in Pontiac, Michigan, working at the Fisher Body Plant, and then did a 2-week stint at Procter & Gamble's oleomargarine factory in nearby Evadale. On June 25, 1950, North Korea invaded South Korea, and within days, American troops were involved in their first military conflict since the end of World War II. In July, Cash drove to Blytheville, Arkansas, and signed up for 4 years with the United States Air Force. He received his registration certificate shortly after his 18th birthday. He had to give a first and middle name. Initials were not acceptable. He filled in John Ray. Joining the Air Force was a big change from the life he had known thus far, but Cash always knew that someday he would have to leave his hometown. There was no future for young people in Dyess. "When we were young," he once said, "it was taken for granted that we wouldn't live in Dyess when we were grown. It was the aim of every person to get a better job." As his classmate Billy Shaddix, who joined the Army, says, "When we was growing up, all we was thinking about was getting out of them cotton fields. All we was thinking about was getting off the farm and doing something different."